Because we got to get better. You know, we want to improve. We want to get our team. We want to see where we are. You know, these last two games matter. They're division opponents to us. Very important to our football team to see the competition, to see guys, you know, compete against our division. And I think it's important for each man, and it's important for each unit, and it's important for our whole football team.
That is your Bears football coach, Matt Eberflus, talking about this is why Justin Fields is playing. This is why everybody who's healthy will play, and even some of those who aren't. That's why they're playing. That's what we're doing. This is what happens. We play football. We need to get better. We need to improve. You don't get better not playing football if you want to get better at football. That's what the coach said. Let's see what Jim Schwantz says. He joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jim Schwantz is part of the WBBM 780 AM pregame, postgame, halftime show. Jay Hilgenberg and Ron Gleason. And we are happy to have him back. Thanks for joining me today, Jim. Appreciate it.
Hey,
thanks,
Rosie,
for taking time out.
Not a problem, Rosie. Anytime. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, New Year's Eve. By the way, Saturday Suck is the Tech Zone. It's such a happy little place. The 224 texter, can you say hi to my girlfriend, Colleen? No, sorry, Colleen. I'm not saying hi to you. And then we suck at math. Somebody said the Phil Collins drum riff occurs at 340, so we'd need to start the song at 11:56:20. All you popular kids, oh my God. Happy, sorry to help. So, moving right along. Jim Schwantz, the coach wants the quarterback to play. The quarterback wants to play this 3-12 season that every Bears fan hopes becomes 3-14. He needs to play. He needs to get better at football. That's the main thinking. That's why he's playing. How do you come down on this? How do you look at this? And are the Bears doing what they should be doing?
Well, I've always said, from the very beginning, there's nothing you can do to simulate game reps. The practices now, the training camps, that would be the devil's advocate would say, oh yeah, he can get better. He can get better in practice. You can't get better in practice anymore. There's no more contact in practice. They're shorts, basically. You're only in pads, whatever it is, 14 times a season. Training camp, we've all been to training camp. Practice, the 2 days are gone. The amount of hitting is limited. The preseason games have become almost to the point where they're unwatchable. So the game reps are important. And you're playing a team this week, a division opponent that still has playoff aspirations. And, of course, next week, one that's looking at sewing up the division and playoff positioning. So you're going to get the reps that are coveted, the game reps that are meaningful. And so if he's healthy and ready to go, he should play. That being said, you look at last week's game, 2 weeks ago, he's doing his Justin Fields thing. He's running all over the place. Last week, he is limited in his running. They call very few, if any, designed runs. His scrambling is scrambles very early in the game. And then he kind of stops doing that. And he looks, it looks like a very flawed quarterback. So if it's going to go into this week's game, he's most protected when he's on the move. That's when he knows where the defensive players are. He can get out of bounds. If he's standing in the pocket, he's going to get sacked a bunch. And that's the fear you have, because, you want, obviously, but Justin Fields to finish this season healthy so that he can have a great offseason and get himself ready to go for the 2023 season.
My guest is Jim Schwantz, part of the WBBM 780 AM pregame show, Bears pregame, postgame, halftime, our brother station over there. So what you mentioned about nobody's getting better at practice, that because of the rules, especially contact, that seems most acutely true of the offensive line, arguably the Bears' greatest need. So how does this get better? Give Bears fans some hope, Jim.
Well, it gets better in the draft. It gets better in the offseason acquiring talent, because it's a lack of talent right now. I thought 2 weeks ago The Bears got beat on some of the most basic D-line stunts, the TE or the ET stunts, depending on which defensive lineman goes first. And you know, Cody was on the wrong side of that, Cody Whitehair and Jones. And it just looked to me like the lack of communication, lack of playing together. They've been moving in and out a lot of guys. You heard Coach Flus talk about in the post-game comments, he talks about a rotation on the offensive line. I think that's just due to, you know, trying to get these guys evaluated, who's going to be around and have a chance to compete for spots, whether it be more than likely not starting spots, but backup spots for the 2023 season. But that's a long answer to your question. Short answer, you got to acquire more talent.
There's an idea. Well, I think one of the things that if we look at what the Bears brought, you look at this roster and you look at what Ryan Poles did, not so hot in free agency. They still could have used whatever. They either need a I think they need a new doctor to evaluate Larry Ogunjobi, because he certainly was healthy enough to make another team better but not pass the Bulls physical. That's certainly a glaring error. That defense doesn't start getting better until they get a three technique. But what Poles did in the draft, when you look at Brisker, when I look at Brisker anyways, mm-hmm. and when I look at Kyler Gordon being mm-hmm. asked, he's getting better having been bunch of responsibility for two positions dumped on a rookie, and Braxton Jones, there's a rookie who's your starting left tackle. I think Ryan Poles does that in a small sample size very well. You evaluate the Bears draft. I know it's a small sample size. You happy with what the GM has done, or is there a glaring issue?
No, I agree with you. I think I'll take it to, you know, the two position groups that Ryan Poles really addressed in the offseason and free agency were both less than mediocre. Your offensive line pickups and your wide receiver pickups. You know, you didn't do much in the offseason for either of those position groups to say that, wow, this guy, he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on in this league, and we can really count on when it comes time to spend big money in free agency. So, you know, I think the jury's still out with regard to that, but I'll agree with you on the draft stuff. Yeah, I mean, Gordon Brisker, team with Jalen Johnson, and hopefully Eddie Jackson gets healthy. You've got a secondary that you can really look at for the next 2, 3, 4 years, and hopefully you can get a D-line, as you mentioned, to catch up to what they do back there, because I don't care how good you are on the back end. I really don't. You can't cover forever. You know, we talked a little bit about the rules and things with practice. The same thing with the defensive rules on Sundays when they play. It's you can't jam any more than five yards down the field. You can't hold those jams. You can't contact guys. You know, obviously the defensive holding penalties and those types of things are killers. How many times this year, and not just the Bear games, but any game, is it a 3rd and 15 and there's a defensive holding call on the backside of the play that wasn't even involved in the play? Those are the frustrating things. So I agree, though. I think, you know, what Ryan's done in the very small sample size, as you mentioned, for the draft, thumbs up for sure, and I'm really excited about what he's going to do going forward. But with the free agency side, that's where you left kind of scratching your head. I know he had a small pool to deal with, to look at, but you know, you look at the Pringle and the St. Brown, and you know, you go out, you get the Claypool. You mentioned, you know, the Riley Reefs of the world that you bring in free agency, the Schofields, and you just kind of like, these are just guys. So hopefully this next offseason, depending on where the talent lies in the free agent pool, because we know the Bears have money to spend, he'll have a better opportunity to bolster that roster.
My guest on The Score, Jim Schwantz, talking football with a member of the WBBM 780 AM pregame, postgame, halftime show, part of the greater Odyssey family. So I was talking earlier, and we've seen the Bears play the Eagles, and all the talk was, oh, I want the Bears to be that when they grow up. And they played the Bills. Oh, we'll have what Buffalo's having. And now come the Lions. And I think the Lions are the next legitimate, practical step that the Bears can take. They've rallied from 1-6. They're a playoff contender. They're going to have the clunkers they did last week inexplicably against Carolina. But I think for whatever it is between coach and owning the locker room, playing hard, finding ways to win at the end, which the Bears always find ways to lose or just not execute, I think the Lions, this week's opponent, is the next practical step for the Bears. Do you agree, disagree? Am I setting my sights too low?
No, I think, you know, it's a little bit different. I mean, I think you've got a different athlete at the quarterback position, and the Lions are going to have a big decision this offseason with Jared Goff, whether he's the guy they go ahead and go after. But you got a mentality there. You know, you've got a head coach who believes in, you know, the front seven, offensively, defensively, the trenches, so to speak. They're not phenomenal at the skill position. Amon-Ra St. Brown is an excellent young wide receiver. The Williams kid who's coming off the ACL has got some speed. You know, they've done a really good job in the backfield. I think DeAndre Swift has kind of underperformed this year, but they get the touchdowns from the other running back. They trade away their tight end, you know, one of the best tight ends in football, and Hockenson, one of the top probably 10 tight ends, and they've replaced him with just some guys. Defensively, of course, they've got the game changer in the rookie defensive end that's as advertised. So, you know, the Bears I would say if you're looking at, you know, kind of what the next step is, if you can get to the point where your front seven, both front sevens are as able to be counted on as what you've got in Detroit, what they're building in Detroit, they're not there yet, but what they're building, yeah, I think that's definitely an aiming point for the Chicago Bears franchise.
We don't know if there's an Aiden Hutchinson in the draft, but there seems to be. Will Anderson would be one of them. If the Bears end up with first or second pick, and it becomes more valuable because teams inexplicably fall in love with quarterbacks they shouldn't fall in love with. See Trey Lance for details. And they make moves to go this way. If you were the Bears and you had a decision, presuming, I know we don't know what they're going to get offered in trade, but if it came down to multiplying that pick with all their holes or filling one hole with what you believe is a 10-year starter, which do you, Jim Schwantz, think is the right decision for the Bears?
Well, you mentioned the big X factor is what's being offered. You know, if there is a Ryan Pace of the world that's going to panic because he wants to get Mitch Trubisky and he wants to give up a ridiculous amount of capital, then you take it. You know, I'm sure Ryan Poles is, you know, phone's going to be on. He's going to listen to all offers. And if it's something that gives them an opportunity to move down, you know, to the middle of the first round and retain a good pick down there and grab a couple extra picks along the way, then you're gonna make that trade. I think you're gonna definitely make the trade. The yet to be determined thing is if the Bears mess around and win one of these last two games and fall out of the top 2-3 spots, and then you're obviously taking the best available that's going to fill like with the largest hole that you have. But the Bears just need so much on that D line and the O line, and they need more depth at the tight end position. They need wide receivers. You know, we don't know if Chase Claypool is going to do anything going forward. They don't have a number one wide receiver. You know, what are you going to do with Montgomery? Is Khalil Herbert your running back of the future? There's so many holes that are out there that you would be a fool if you wouldn't take that opportunity to pick up multiple draft picks and restock that roster.
So I love the idea. It's like the song, I fooled around and fell in love. So if the Bears screw around and inexplicably win a game to affect their draft status, but let's say that win is the result of a 75-yard drive engineered by Justin Fields with 90 seconds to go, one timeout, and I don't care who he completes the pass to. I don't care where it goes. Somebody who probably won't be here next year, might be here next year. What if he's the reason that there's an actual adult hero drive that your quarterback of the future executes? Would you take it then, or would you still say they screwed up by winning the game?
You know, the Bear fan would take it because I'd love to see the young man continuing to improve and get to that next level. You know, we know he's limited in his ability to throw the football, and if they were to do a 90-yard, 75-yard, 100-yard drive, whatever it is, to win a football game, it would be the first time this year. So that would be something that you as a Bear fan would take and be able to kind of look back on, hang your hat on, and hopefully say, you know, this is when this kid you know, starting to click for him, especially in the 2-minute drill at the end of games when it really truly matters. You know, the NFL has turned into the NBA. I mean, these games are, you don't need to watch them for three quarters. Just watch the fourth quarter and really can catch up in what you're seeing. But you know, the overreaching analyst in me, you know, I would be upset because I still think, as you mentioned, there's so many teams that are quarterback starved in this league that if you're sitting in that top one or two pick, somebody's going to make a move. Somebody's going to do something that unconventional, and you as an organization are going to sit there with that number two coveted pick, and you're going to have an ability to really truly impact your roster for years to come. So, you know, like I said, I would, as a fan watching on Sunday, I'd love to see it because I'm a fan of the kid. I think he's got an opportunity to be a very good quarterback in this league, but the analyst in me would be like, man, they screwed around and really cost themselves for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
So it's great that you came down strongly on both sides, Jim. So you're prepared.
I'm a politician. You know that, right? I'm a
politician. You are. The mayor of Palatine knows exactly what to say. All things to all people. All right. Jim, appreciate it. Thanks for joining me today. Have a safe, happy new year, 2022.
You do the same, Rosie. Talk to you soon, pal.
Thanks. Jim Schwantz, mayor of Palatine and an analyst along with Jay Hilgenberg. The two of them work with Ron Gleason. Ron Gleason. 7:80 a.m. WBBM, the Odyssey Big Brother station, carries the Bears games. And that leads up to Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer with Mark Grody. Mark Grody, or Grody, as he called himself Thursday when we were working together in the morning show.
Very close enough.
Molly and Hug Grody, yeah. It's his own name. So I don't know. We couldn't catch up with Mark today. Not know.
Maybe that's the actual proper pronunciation, and we've all been saying it wrong all these years, and he was too polite to correct us.
I would have assumed that Jean Grody would have let us know exactly what it was. She certainly isn't shy about making sure that he's dressed properly for the elements. So I assume she would have corrected the pronunciation. Sweet Fair Alice, point. How's Sweet Alice doing?
She's good. I saw her on Christmas.
Yeah.
She's good. She's good.
All right.
Folks are good.
Shooter shooting at any trash pandas out the window from what used to be your bedroom?
I didn't hear about any when I was there last weekend. So, but, you know, probably. We can only assume at this point.
She usually texts breathless updates, right?
If she's listening right now, then she'll update me. But I did not hear any news stories of raccoons being shot at from the window.
All right. So failing any raccoon shooting updates by a shooter standing in your bedroom with a gun indoors and boom. I did want to remind you that after this show, at 2 o'clock, the score, go to the score's Twitter account, get yourself all set, set a timer, there you go. It is the 30th anniversary special of the score. This is the year, 30 years ago this year, the score debuted. We had a 30th anniversary party. The special was condensed down at just all kinds of great sound. That will follow this show, Saturday Suckage, to the score's glory. So we'll take a break, and when I come back, it's a big day this day in sports talk. As long as we're talking about historic sports talk radio and the score, there are some notes about sports talk radio something I wanted to bring up, a birth today, of something that just captures a lot of the Chicago sports zeitgeist. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We suck.
Welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, the last one for this year. Maybe the last one forever if somebody important listens to this show. But moving right along, presuming nobody does, because nobody ever does. Today's we're celebrating a birthday today. In 1963, the man who would be known as Konashiki was born. Got any idea who that is? Trash Panda?
Say the name again.
Konashiki?
No, I have no idea.
He is the American-born sumo wrestler. He is the first non-Japanese-born wrestler to reach Ozeki, that is the second highest possible rank in the sport of sumo wrestling. He was born today in 1963 in Honolulu, Hawaii. Japanese Samoan, born in Honolulu. So he reached Ozeki. He stands 6 foot and weighs 633 pounds.
Wow. That's quite a number.
He was born on December 31st, January 1st, and January 2nd. No, I'm just kidding. That's just cheap. Fat joke. Anyways, speaking of cheap fat jokes, it reminded me of Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. So you listen to the I'm Fat podcast, Trash Panda. You know the guys, Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. And I don't believe I've ever heard them talk about sumo. Did you? Did you ever hear that?
I don't think so. That's kind of shocking, though.
I would imagine sumo wrestlers would be like their biggest heroes, pardon the phrase. The Jordans and the Gretzky's of the I'm Fat podcast world, right?
Oh, man. I can't believe that that's never come up with them. We have to get them on.
We should ring up Jay. I'm sure he'd much rather talk about that than the Hawks, the way he does on CHGO. And by the way, there's about, I don't know, are there 50 games left? There's about 50 games left for that team,
for whatever it is. I don't know. Let me do some math real quick.
They were designed to suck on the ice in the broadcast booth. And I believe, by the way, I can't believe the story hasn't come out. I believe they ran off Pat Foley. Same way they made sure that Eddie Ol wasn't coming back. Foley, by the way, will call the winner. The Blackhawks what?
Excuse me. I say after today, the Blackhawks will have 49 games left. Something okay. like that. Wait, 82 games in a season, so it'd be 47 games left.
All right, so it's whatever about that.
Yeah, nobody cares.
You're better off reading after you watch the dreadful Blackhawks. If you're forced to do that, go read a chapter of Jay's book, The Big 50, and about the Blackhawks. It'll make you feel better, and it'll make you feel better. I believe they ran off Foley, and I don't know whether it was money, which you'd already suspect with that ownership, or idiot focus groups, moron marketing. I don't know what it was. I think there's a story there because it didn't make sense. He's going to retire after 39 years there, huh? Not a big, fat, round number like 40. Come on, hosers. Come on. Really? Anyway, that's a story that needs to be told a little more. I think there's still something there. Somebody should figure that out. There's a lot of people who cover hockey in this town, whether we want them to or not, and it would seem that would be a pretty ripe story. And I think Pat Foley and one of Eddie's kids, Nick, will be calling the Winter Classic. I think that's the case. Failing the I'm Fat podcast thoughts on sumo and sumo wrestlers, I think we do need to hear about that. Brings us also to Stacey King. And this is one he is so funny. This you had to listen closely to. It goes back to the Grayson Allen, what? The usual cheap shot stuff. The things that make him the most hated man in the NBA. Certainly the most hated man since any Piston and Bears. You could hate LeBron, but you had to respect him the same way Bears fans would hate Brett Favre. But this is not, you want to hate somebody like every generation.
Oh, no, we don't have to respect Brett Favre.
Well, you did before you found out what a real scumbucket he was.
Okay, that's fair.
Now he's a slime ball. You don't have to respect him at all.
Okay, that's fair.
You should put him in jail. But back then when he was beating your team, you go, oh, I hate him. Hey, yeah. Like same way with LeBron. Well, they were just great. You weren't. That's the problem. But the Pistons, the Dennis Rodman and John Sally and Rick Mahorn and especially Bill Laimbeer, those you guys could hate. Grayson Allen, you could hate. So he's taking his cheap shot at DeMar DeRozan after Patrick Williams fouled him. And then Adam Amin got righteously angry, and good for him. And I certainly understood it. And they were watching through replays. And Stacey had something to say. You got to really listen closely to the way Stacey brings it back to food. Give a listen.
Why people have a problem with Grayson Allen.
Let me tell you something. Somebody needs to give him a two-piece. I guarantee he'll stop doing that. Somebody pop him upside his head a couple times. He'll stop doing that because he's getting away with this too much.
Constantly.
He does this all the time. And look at his teammates. They know what's going on. They know what's going on. He's got a history. What he did to Alex Caruso last year
was a dirty.
Was play. Dirty, and it turned the Bulls.
You can apologize for it as often as you want.
You can send a card.
I don't doubt that there is some remorse in that guy for it. But
man,
why do you
none.
Keep doing things?
There's no remorse.
Over he's been and doing over it. And over.
He's been doing it since Duke.
Since Duke, he had
he's
four different
it.
Incidents at Duke.
Watch this.
He's had multiple incidents in the NBA.
See, look, boom.
And he just added that is completely unnecessary.
And he's trying to say he got pushed.
I don't doubt that he got pushed. There's no reason to add that. Just because you got pushed doesn't give you carte blanche to do that. And that's why it's frustrating to watch a talented player like Grayson Allen keep getting involved in stupid, dirty moments.
Let me tell you something. Until one of these players he runs across the
wrong
player,
he's going to keep doing it until he gets a forearm chip to his face.
Somebody gives him a two-piece with a biscuit and Fanta.
Stacey,
he'll stop doing it.
You know that I rarely get upset about these things because I know it's a physical game. I didn't play it. I don't know what it's like in the heat of the moment. But when you have this happen 8 or 9 times between college and the NBA over the last 7 years, what more are people going to think of you?
Well, and then to go back to last year, what he did to Alex Caruso, he's on the bench laughing, giving high fives. And I'm going to tell you, listen, the NBA's got to do something. His reputation is as a dirty player.
If you listen closely, Adam Amin is righteously angry. I was too. I felt that way. Adam Amin, you're speaking for me. And Stacey gives the old one, you know, he gives him a two-piece, you know, a left and a right. Give him the fists. But then, because it always comes back to food with Stacey, a two-piece with a biscuit and a Fanta. He just slipped that in while Adam Amin is trying to maintain his anger. That was one of the best pieces of broadcast that I'd heard. I love that. And so we should talk to the I'm Fat podcast and see if Jay or Rick, what they think about sumo wrestlers and what's the best two-piece out there. You know, biscuit, Fanta. I love Stacey's like ordering. That is so good. Speaking of broadcast moments, the score. Yes, Texter, 312 Texter. So, Steve, what you're saying is if I keep listening to your show, things will eventually get better at 2 p.m. Is that what you call a tease? Yes, 312 Texter. Exactly that. That's when we will bring you the Scorer's 30th anniversary broadcast. These are the highlights, the best of all your faves, all your heroes. They were all there. It is all winnowed down. You can go to the Scorer's Twitter account, find your way there. And it is the broadcast. It'll be at 2 o'clock on this New Year's Eve. Our present for you, Score broadcast, its first show, January 2nd in 1992. It was Tom Scherer. And on this station, 30 years later, there you go. 30 years of all kinds of news and nonsense and voices and sounds and heroes. And you know what? You get a chance. Listen to it. If nothing else, there's Terry Bors again. Terry Bors on the radio. That's Radio Gold. Terry Bors again. You'll hear all your favorites. They were there in tape or in real life or whatever. And hearing Terry Bors is really, it's a good way to end a year. Any year. I've done shows with Terry Bors at the end of the year. And it's just, he's wonderful. He's the guy I wanted to grow up to be. And you have a chance to relive that. The Scorer's 30th anniversary broadcast at 2 o'clock on the station. Trash Panda, did you have a favorite moment? Did you have something you were looking forward to when the broadcast was planned or something in light of after the broadcast, something you came away with saying, that's it, that's gold, that's wonderful?
That's a good question. Put me on the spot here. Well, I think that everyone's favorite thing was the Bors and Bernstein basically reunion they had. Like, I mean, that was the headliner, right? Although The announcing of the lineup in the 5 o'clock hour was pretty cool. They had Tim Sinclair there. That was pretty dope. Mm-hmm. And I mean, afterwards, I had to run the board for the afternoon show that day, but I flew out there afterwards, and just hanging out with people afterwards was pretty cool. You know, like Barry was there, and you know, he's Barry, so that was cool. seeing Jay and Shep and those guys again was fun. So that like the after party was lots of fun.
And the thing about the thing about the score, a lot of it grew out of bar shows, remotes, and even shows that weren't brought, but appearances at bars where here's a score koozie, here's a score keychain, here's your score personality, here's Dan McNeil for 2 hours in whatever Southside bar. That's where a lot of it grew. It's one thing to have the scores broadcast, the anniversary show you'll hear at 2 o'clock, hear it come out of a bar, and that kind of entertainment venue. It's very fitting. The score at its best was two guys sitting at the end of a bar talking sports and everybody else could join in. That's when the score did its best stuff. That's what it sounded like when it came on the air. That's what the best parts of it were. Whether it's arguing or laughing or whatever it was, it was fitting. So yeah, the best part would be being in the bar, being there when it happened, hearing screams and a whole lot of noise, and it's wonderful. So you'll get to relive that. 2 o'clock, Scores 30th anniversary broadcast. Take a break here on Saturday Suckage. And when we come back, maybe you can make some money. Maybe you can make some money on the college semifinals tonight. I will talk with Ryan Horvath of BetMGM tonight. He'll be back. He'll give you some thoughts. He'll give you a chance to make some money. We'll do that on Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. I think you have a lot of evidence. You don't even need the full year. You just need this show. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Close out the year 2022. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're going to go back to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And welcome back to the show, Ryan Horvath. He's the host of BetMGM tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM HD2 or on the Odyssey app, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. It's part of the BetQL network. Download the BetQL app today. Ryan, thanks for joining me today. How you doing?
Doing great. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for having me. I apologize if my signal dies out at all here. I'm driving into the middle of Wisconsin, over by Ripon, Wisconsin right now, going to the Packer-Viking game on Sunday for New Year, since it's one of like three games that actually matter this weekend in the National Football League. So pretty excited for the New Year.
But the Bears-Lions game matters because the number one overall pick might be hanging in the balance. See, so maybe it does matter. There you go.
No, you're right. And that game really matters for me because the Bears are actually one of my favorite bets this week. I'm fading the Lions this week. I know that they have a lot to play for. It's probably going to come down to Week 18, them against Green Bay, to sneak in for that final wild card spot. Like you said, a big game for the Bears where the last 3 weeks, you've seen everything you kind of want to see from the Bears because they've been competitive. They stayed in these games, but they've also lost these games, and that's what you want right now. You want that number one overall pick or a top five draft pick. So I do think the Bears keep it close once again. I know the Lions have kind of become America's team because they've covered in 7 of their last 8 games, but defensively, they're a mess. They're giving up over 400 yards per game. Bears have been much better offensively. I think they're going to keep this one close. Hopefully, for draft sake, they don't win it, but I definitely think that they lose by less than 6.5 points coming up on Sunday.
Well, the Bears were good offensively for about 4 weeks, and then everybody figured out, well, make Justin Fields beat you in the air, and he really can't because there's not enough there. And they haven't really been – it hasn't really been that offensive fiesta. They haven't been able to hang with the adults on a regular basis. So – the idea that the Lions might be tight is legitimate. Their defense sucks, but the Bears' defense sucks too. Would you bet the over in this game? Is that the only safe bet?
I think I would bet the over because of what you just said, and especially because both secondaries. The Lions, the first 6-7 weeks of the season, looked like they could have been one of the worst defenses in NFL history. Then all of a sudden, like, some of their younger guys have stepped up. I really like Hutchinson, the kid that they took out of Michigan. And then Jeffrey Okuda, who they drafted a couple of years ago, a top five pick, a defensive back. He struggled his first couple of years, kind of came into his own a little bit. But I think the over is the play. Like you said, the Bears, not great defensively, all beat up in the secondary. I do think we're going to get some points in this game. The only thing that concerns me, it's Jared Goff is two different quarterbacks. Jared Goff in a dome looks like a Pro Bowl quarterback. Jared Goff outside this season has only thrown two touchdown passes. He struggles against man defense. He's really good against zone. But I do think we get some points in this game, as long as he doesn't become a turnover machine.
My guest is Ryan Horvath. He's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard on in Chicago on 105.9 FM. HD2 are on the Odyssey app Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. It's part of the BetQL network. As long as you brought up Michigan, let's talk Michigan. You got the college semis today. Does this, let's start with Michigan and TCU. And I don't know where the line is now, but it just seems as though that it should be pretty big for Michigan. Michigan should be favored big against a team that lost to Kansas State. I don't understand. It doesn't necessarily work that way. How do you view this game? Where's your money-making opportunity?
Yeah, so, you know, anything under 9, 9.5 points, which I think we're going to probably close 7.5, 8, where Michigan will be favored in this game. I like the favorite. I like Michigan. They're top 10, both offensively and defensively. Really efficient football team. I know that they have some injuries. They're going to be without their running back, Blake Corum. But they were without Blake Corum against Ohio State, and they blew out Ohio State on the road a couple weeks ago in the game. So I like Michigan. TCU was a really fun story for Sonny Dykes year one. But look at, I mean, going into the season, nobody really knew what they were going to be. Their projected win total was only 6.5 games. So just getting into the college football playoff has been remarkable for them. Max Duggan, he was a Heisman finalist. He's a little bit beat up right now, TCU's quarterback. They could score points, but defensively, you could really get them through the air. And I worried about J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback, early on in the season. He looked like he was just kind of a game manager. But then he made some really big throws against Ohio State, and again in the Big Ten title game. So I think Michigan rolls here. I think they win this game by at least 10 points. I think we're getting a discounted price. I hate just coming out and giving out the favorite, but I do think that this has the potential of being a blowout. I like Michigan a lot today.
Well, your job is not to avoid favorites or avoid obvious. Your job is to pick winners, right? That's follow number one rule in life is follow the money, Ryan. That's the way it works.
Exactly. That's what I try to tell people. You know, you follow the money. And the thing is anytime we get over 7.5, 8 points, you know, I'm always looking for key numbers, so it tempts me to take the dog. I don't see TCU. I mean, like you said, they lost to Kansas State, and Kansas State was a fun story. I'm actually watching them right now. They got off to a nice little start against Alabama, had a 10-0 lead. But then Alabama woke up. You could tell that Nick Saban probably ripped into his guys. That's the Big 12, TCU, fun story, but I think they really step up in competition, and I like Michigan a lot.
So there seems to be a similar mismatch in the other game as well, Ohio State against Georgia. In this regard, both Michigan with size and a willingness to play smash mouth and really hurt you physically is Georgia in the other game. And their stuff coming out of Ohio State, stuff coming out of Columbus, rang funny to me to hear about how Ohio State is, we're tough. We need to play a violent game. We're tough. We're tough. It seems like they're trying to talk themselves into it, which I may be reading wrong. I may be hearing it wrong, but that's the way it sounded to me. I have no idea if this goes into any of your pregame computations, but when you do research, do you listen to this? Do you figure this in? Are you looking at other things?
You know, I actually do, and I think, so my favorite bet for the college football playoff, and you could still bet this before these games kick off here in a couple hours, it's going to sound crazy, but I like Ohio State plus 350 to win the national title, because all season long, and I've watched every game, and we have on all these analysts and experts on our show, And all season long, Georgia, I mean, they haven't lost a game since last year. They're, again, a top-five defensive unit. Stetson Bennett, last year we kept calling him a game manager. This year he was a Heisman finalist. But he's prone to making some turnover-worthy throws. I just, all season long, when we asked who gives Georgia the best game on a neutral field, everybody answered Ohio State. And then Ohio State played one really bad half of football in the biggest game of the year. They laid an egg. And now the narrative is that they stink. They're not tough. They're not physical enough. And I kind of like that because they've been sitting back for the last month. They didn't have to play in the Big Ten title game. They get in because they lucked out. You know, USC loses in the Pac-12 championship game. So I think they have a lot of bulletin board material. They're not tough enough. Michigan's a better football team. They lost that big rivalry game. Georgia is one of the great college football playoff teams of all time, and I just don't know that they are. I don't think that they're LSU from a couple of years ago with Joe Burrow. I don't know if they're as good as those Alabama teams. I think they're a very good football team, but I think that they're beatable. So I think plus 350 is just a ridiculous price. And what I like about it is, I mean, if you think Georgia is just this great team and they're going to roll, bet them right now minus 145 because that's a decent price just to win both games. The reason I like Ohio State is if they pull off the upset, and that number keeps going down. We were at 7.5. There was some 6.5 last night. I think we're back up to 7 right now. I like Ohio State to cover and win this game. And then if they do, again, we expect them to play Michigan in a rematch. And I know that sounds crazy. You know, you get this big rivalry game and a national title game. But look, if we're going to get that, it's probably going to happen this year. We saw North Carolina and Duke play in a Final Four game. I never thought I was going to see that. And then if we do get that rematch, sure, Michigan maybe wins that game again, but they're still going to be underdogs. That game closed with Ohio State being a 9.5-point favorite at home. On a neutral field, they'll still be 3.5-point favorites. So you could bet Michigan and kind of hedge your bet, 3.5 or plus 4, and then you have both sides. I just think Ohio State plus 350 is the best price because all season long we talked about them like they were a great offense, a great team. They played one bad game, and now everybody overreacts. And we did the same thing with Georgia last year. Georgia went undefeated. They were the best defense in the country. And then they just played a stinker in the SEC title game and got blown out by Alabama. They met again in the national title game. They were still favorites. Everybody asked how, and they beat them. And I think we're getting the same spot here with Ohio State. So I just really like the price.
So Ohio State, when you're talking about them having one bad half all year, and it came in the biggest game against their biggest rival. Well, I could shine a spotlight on that and say, oh, these guys in big games, they're not going to close. They're not going to finish. But you obviously don't believe that.
No, you know what? And I could believe that. I think that there's a good chance that they just get rolled tonight. They get blown out, right? But I just, the way that I bet, I love narratives, and I love, like every year, right, we count out, and this is a year where we probably should count out Tom Brady, but there were all those years, even when he was in New England, where there would be a rough start to the season, and that would be the perfect time for me to buy in on Tom Brady because ESPN and First Take and everybody's talking about he's washed, and that's kind of the same thing with Ohio State. So I think there's a good chance that they do get blown out, but I just really like the price tag. Like I always joke, I bet numbers, not really teams. And I just think plus 350 is a really good price. But, no, that's a good point. You know, they laid an egg in the second half against a rival. You could say maybe this team isn't tough enough. They're not tough enough to go against a big SEC opponent. But I think that they are. You know, last year their problem, Ohio State, it was a letdown season. Their problem last year was their defense. C.J. Stroud's probably going to be the first quarterback taken. They've had some injuries, too. Jackson Smith and Jigba's probably going to be a top 10 pick, their wide receiver. He hasn't really played all year long. But last year, the problem was the defense, and it was because they had a bunch of freshmen. All their linebackers were freshmen. This year, the defense was a top 15 unit all year long. They just completely fell apart against Michigan. I think we at least get a competitive game. I think that's the close game tonight. So I like Ohio State a lot tonight.
My guest is Ryan Horvath. He's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM HD2 or on the Odyssey app Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 as part of the BetQL network. Download the BetQL app today. Is either game do you forecasted being a good investment opportunity by halves? A lot of the, you know, in-game betting covers up a lot of opportunities. But from one half to the next, do you see something that presents itself as value?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the best part about our show. You know, we live bet these games, and when I first started betting on games, you know, I didn't really know a whole lot about live betting because this is all, it's changing because now you have the mobile apps and you're able just to pick up the app. So what I do is I pretty much just look for key numbers. Let's say, especially early on in these games, when everything's scripted, maybe for Michigan and TCU, I really like the under in the game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. People look at TCU, they look at that offense, they think, well, they're at least going to score 35 points. I don't know. Michigan, at least 7-8 of those guys are going to be in the National Football League by next year. That's a really good defense. So I like the under, but what I'll probably do is I'll wait until the first quarter, maybe midway through the first quarter, and I'll see if we could get maybe like an inflated total. If they go down the field and they score on the opening drive, TCU, and then Michigan matches, that total is going to bounce up 10, 11 points. Then I'll live bet the under. I also like to do that, you know, with underdogs. If a team goes down 14-0 early, maybe they're 10-point dogs in the game. That bumps all the way up to 17.5. I'm always just looking for the key numbers. You know, I like the 17.5 because then you're getting the touchdown, the field goal, and the hook, certain things like that. I do think that there's really going to be a good live betting opportunity as far as the total. And then let's say Ohio State goes down early, then I'll like them a little bit more because, again, right now they're 7-point underdogs. If they were 10-point underdogs or 13-point underdogs, if we could get them with two touchdowns, then I'll like them a little bit more because I do think that that game's going to come down to the wire. So sometimes I like live betting these things rather than playing them pre-flop because you're going to get a better number, and especially with totals.
Look at that, throwing in the poker term pre-flop. Talk about betting. There you go. Ryan, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Safe travel up there. And remember, when you're in Wisconsin, turn your watch back 20 years. Always important to make that adjustment.
You really have to. All the signage, everything I'm seeing here is just like weapons, guns, and then I saw a sign for cheese and goats. I don't know what that kind of combination is, but it sounds interesting. I might have to check it out.
Culinary creativity at its finest. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
All right. You too. Ryan Horvath, he's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM, HD2, or on the Odyssey app. That's us, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. Part of the BetQL network. Download the BetQL app today. So next hour, we are going to start with the Bulls. Darnell Mabry of The Athletic is going to join me. We're going to talk about this. He'd written earlier in the week, this blow this thing up. And then they go out and beat the team with the worst record in the NBA that was missing two guys, and it was a game for 45 minutes, which it should never have been if you're really this team. We will check in with Darnell, and we are going to bring back an interview with Matt Fortuna, also of The Athletic, covers college football, about the search for the Bears' new team president, going down to from Halisall to Park Ridge or wherever the Big Ten is home now. And that's where you find Kevin Warren, and that's the guy. So Matt Fortuna was on the Bernstein and Holmes show. He was on with Lawrence and Layla, and it was quite revealing. Great stuff there. We'll bring that back to you. And the top of the in an hour from now, because we're just the pregame show for the Scores 30th anniversary show. It will be the Scores 30th anniversary broadcast at 2 o'clock. All your boss saves faves will be there. Everybody from the historic 30-year rise of the Score, the dominance, the fun times, the sports, the laughter, the confrontation, the nonsense, and the news. It's all there for you. So take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some Bulls. Zach LaVine looked like a max player. He had to remind some people that he was having max player numbers and stats. Got a kick out of that. We'll bring that back for you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Close out the year 2022. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're going to go back to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And welcome back to the show, Ryan Horvath. He's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM HD2 or on the Odyssey app. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. It's part of the BetQL network. Download the BetQL app today. Ryan, thanks for joining me today. How you doing?
Doing great. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for having me. I apologize if my signal dies out at all here. I'm driving into the middle of Wisconsin, over by Ripon, Wisconsin right now, going to the Packer-Viking game on Sunday for New Year's, since it's one of like three games that actually matter this weekend in the National Football League. So pretty excited for the New Year.
But the Bears-Lions game matters because the number one overall pick might be hanging in the balance. See, so maybe it does matter. There you go.
No, you're right. And that game really matters for me because the Bears are actually one of my favorite bets this week. I'm fading the Lions this week. I know that they have a lot to play for. It's probably going to come down to Week 18, them against Green Bay to sneak in for that final wild card spot. Like you said, a big game for the Bears where the last 3 weeks, you've seen everything you kind of want to see from the Bears because they've been competitive. They stayed in these games, but they've also lost these games. And that's what you want right now. You want that number one overall pick or a top five draft pick. So I do think the Bears keep it close once again. I know the Lions have kind of become America's team because they've covered in 7 of their last 8 games. But defensively, they're a mess. They're giving up over 400 yards per game. Bears have been much better offensively. I think they're going to keep this one close. Hopefully, for draft sake, they don't win it. But I definitely think that they lose by less than 6.5 points coming up on Sunday.
Well, the Bears were good offensively for about 4 weeks, and then everybody figured out, well, make Justin Fields beat you in the air, and he really can't because there's not enough there. And they haven't really been – it hasn't really been that offensive fiesta. They haven't been able to hang with the adults on a regular basis. So – the idea that the Lions might be tight is legitimate. Their defense sucks, but the Bears' defense sucks too. Would you bet the over in this game? Is that the only safe bet?
I think I would bet the over because of what you just said, and especially because both secondaries. The Lions, the first 6-7 weeks of the season, look like they could have been one of the worst defenses in NFL history. Then all of a sudden, like, some of their younger guys have stepped up. I really like Hutchinson, the kid that they took out of Michigan. And then Jeffrey Okuda, who they drafted a couple of years ago, a top five pick, the defensive back. He struggled his first couple of years, kind of came into his own a little bit. But I think the over is the play. Like you said, the Bears, not great defensively, all beat up in the secondary. I do think we're going to get some points in this game. The only thing that concerns me, it's Jared Goff is two different quarterbacks. Jared Goff in a dome looks like a Pro Bowl quarterback. Jared Goff outside this season has only thrown 2 touchdown passes. He struggles against man defense. He's really good against zone. But I do think we get some points in this game, as long as he doesn't become a turnover machine.
My guest is Ryan Horvath. He's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM. HD2 are on the Odyssey app Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. It's part of the BetQL network. As long as you brought up Michigan, let's talk Michigan. You got the college semis today. Does this? Let's start with Michigan and TCU. And I don't know where the line is now, but it just seems as though that it should be pretty big for Michigan. Michigan should be favored big against a team that lost to Kansas State. I don't understand. It doesn't necessarily work that way. How do you view this game? Where's your money-making opportunity?
Yeah, so, you know, anything under 9.5 points, which I think we're going to probably close 7.5, 8, where Michigan will be favored in this game. I like the favorite. I like Michigan. They're top 10, both offensively and defensively. Really efficient football team. I know that they have some injuries. They're going to be without their running back, Blake Corum. But they were without Blake Corum against Ohio State, and they blew out Ohio State on the road a couple weeks ago in the game. So I like Michigan. TCU was a really fun story for Sonny Dykes year one. But look at, I mean, going into the season, nobody really knew what they were going to be. Their projected win total was only 6.5 games. So just getting into the college football playoff has been remarkable for them. Max Duggan, he was a Heisman finalist. He's a little bit beat up right now, TCU's quarterback. They could score points, but defensively, you could really get them through the air. And I worried about J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback, early on in the season. He looked like he was just kind of a game manager. But then he made some really big throws against Ohio State, and again in the Big Ten title game. So I think Michigan rolls here. I think they win this game by at least 10 points. I think we're getting a discounted price. I hate just coming out and giving out the favorite, but I do think that this has the potential of being a blowout. I like Michigan a lot today.
Well, your job is not to avoid favorites or avoid obvious. Your job is to pick winners, right? That's follow number one rule in life is follow the money, Ryan. That's the way it works.
Exactly. That's what I try to tell people. You know, you just exactly you follow the money. And the thing is anytime we get over 7.5, 8 points, you know, I'm always looking for key numbers, so it tempts me to take the dog. I don't see TCU. I mean, like you said, they lost to Kansas State, and Kansas State was a fun story. I'm actually watching them right now. They got off to a nice little start against Alabama, had a 10-0 lead, but then Alabama woke up. You could tell that Nick Saban probably ripped into his guys. That's the Big 12, TCU, fun story, but I think they really step up in competition, and I like Michigan a lot.
So there seems to be a similar mismatch in the other game as well, Ohio State against Georgia. In this regard, both Michigan with size and a willingness to play smash mouth and really hurt you physically is Georgia in the other game. And their stuff coming out of Ohio State, stuff coming out of Columbus, rang funny to me to hear about how Ohio State is, we're tough. We need to play a violent game. We're tough. We're tough. It seems like they're trying to talk themselves into it, which I may be reading wrong. I may be hearing it wrong, but that's the way it sounded to me. I have no idea if this goes into any of your pregame computations, but when you do research, do you listen to this? Do you figure this in? Are you looking at other things?
You know, I actually do, and I think, so my favorite bet for the college football playoff, and you could still bet this before these games kick off here in a couple hours, it's going to sound crazy, but I like Ohio State plus 350 to win the national title, because all season long, and I've watched every game, and we have on all these analysts and experts on our show, and all season long, Georgia, I mean, they haven't lost a game since last year. They're, again, a top five defensive unit. Stetson Bennett, last year we kept calling him a game manager. This year he was a Heisman finalist. But he's prone to making some turnover-worthy throws. I just, all season long, when we asked who gives Georgia the best game on a neutral field, everybody answered Ohio State. And then Ohio State played one really bad half of football in the biggest game of the year. They laid an egg. And now the narrative is that they stink, they're not tough, they're not physical enough. And I kind of like that because they've been sitting back for the last month. They didn't have to play in the Big Ten title game. They get in because they lucked out. You know, USC loses in the Pac-12 championship game. So I think they have a lot of bulletin board material. They're not tough enough. Michigan's a better football team. They lost that big rivalry game. Georgia is one of the great college football playoff teams of all time, and I just don't know that they are. I don't think that they're LSU from a couple of years ago with Joe Burrow. I don't know if they're as good as those Alabama teams. I think they're a very good football team, but I think that they're beatable. So I think plus 350 is just a ridiculous price. And what I like about it is, I mean, if you think Georgia is just this great team and they're going to roll, bet them right now minus 145 because that's a decent price just to win both games. The reason I like Ohio State is if they pull off the upset, and that number keeps going down. We were at 7.5. There was some 6.5 last night. I think we're back up to 7 right now. I like Ohio State to cover and win this game. And then if they do, again, we expect them to play Michigan in a rematch. And I know that sounds crazy. You know, you get this big rivalry game and a national title game. But look, if we're going to get that, it's probably going to happen this year. We saw North Carolina and Duke play in a Final Four game. I never thought I was going to see that. And then if we do get that rematch, sure, Michigan maybe wins that game again, but they're still going to be underdogs. That game closed with Ohio State being a 9.5-point favorite at home. On a neutral field, they'll still be 3.5-point favorites. So you could bet Michigan and kind of hedge your bet, 3.5 or plus 4, and then you have both sides. I just think Ohio State plus 350 is the best price because all season long we talked about them like they were a great offense, a great team. They played one bad game, and now everybody overreacts. And we did the same thing with Georgia last year. Georgia went undefeated. They were the best defense in the country. And then they just played a stinker in the SEC title game and got blown out by Alabama. They met again in the national title game. They were still favorites. Everybody asked how, and they beat them. And I think we're getting the same spot here with Ohio State. So I just really like the price.
So Ohio State, when you're talking about them having one bad half all year, and it came in the biggest game against their biggest rival. Well, I could shine a spotlight on that and say, oh, these guys in big games, they're not going to close. They're not going to finish. But you obviously don't believe that.
No, you know what? And I could believe that. I think that there's a good chance that they just get rolled tonight. They get blown out, right? But I just, the way that I bet, I love narratives, and I love, like every year, right, we count out, and this is a year where we probably should count out Tom Brady, but there were all those years, even when he was in New England, where there would be a rough start to the season, and that would be the perfect time for me to buy in on Tom Brady because ESPN and First Take and everybody's talking about he's washed, and that's kind of the same thing with Ohio State. So I think there's a good chance that they do get blown out, but I just really like the price tag. Like, I always joke, I bet numbers, not really teams. And I just think plus 350 is a really good price. But, no, that's a good point. You know, they laid an egg in the second half against a rival. You could say maybe this team isn't tough enough. They're not tough enough to go against a big SEC opponent. But I think that they are. You know, last year their problem, Ohio State, it was a letdown season. Their problem last year was their defense. C.J. Stroud's probably going to be the first quarterback taken. They've had some injuries, too. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is probably going to be a top 10 pick, their wide receiver. He hasn't really played all year long. But last year, the problem was the defense, and it was because they had a bunch of freshmen. All their linebackers were freshmen. This year, the defense was a top 15 unit all year long. They just completely fell apart against Michigan. I think we at least get a competitive game. I think that's the close game tonight. So I like Ohio State a lot tonight.
My guest is Ryan Horvath. He's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM HD2 or on the Odyssey app Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 as part of the BetQL network. Download the BetQL app today. Is either game do you forecasted being a good investment opportunity by halves? A lot of the, you know, in-game betting can covers up a lot of opportunities. But from one half to the next, does something, do you see something that presents itself as value?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the best part about our show. You know, we live bet these games, and when I first started betting on games, you know, I didn't really know a whole lot about live betting because this is all, it's changing because now you have the mobile apps and you're able just to pick up the app. So what I do is I pretty much just look for key numbers. Let's say, especially early on in these games when everything's scripted, maybe for Michigan and TCU, I really like the under in the game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. People look at TCU, they look at that offense, they think, well, they're at least going to score 35 points. I don't know. Michigan, at least 7-8 of those guys are going to be in the National Football League by next year. That's a really good defense. So I like the under, but what I'll probably do is I'll wait until the first quarter, maybe midway through the first quarter, and I'll see if we could get maybe like an inflated total. If they go down the field and they score on the opening drive, TCU, and then Michigan matches, that total is going to bounce up 10, 11 points. Then I'll live bet the under. I also like to do that, you know, with underdogs. If a team goes down 14-0 early, maybe they're 10-point dogs in the game. That bumps all the way up to 17.5. I'm always just looking for the key numbers. You know, I like the 17.5 because then you're getting the touchdown, the field goal, and the hook, certain things like that. I do think that there's really going to be a good live betting opportunity as far as the total. And then let's say Ohio State goes down early, then I'll like them a little bit more because, again, right now they're 7-point underdogs. If they were 10-point underdogs or 13-point underdogs, if we could get them with two touchdowns, then I'll like them a little bit more because I do think that that game's going to come down to the wire. So sometimes I like live betting these things rather than playing them pre-flop because you're going to get a better number, and especially with totals.
Look at that, throwing in the poker term pre-flop. Talk about betting. There you go. Ryan, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Safe travel up there. And remember, when you're in Wisconsin, turn your watch back 20 years. Always important to make that adjustment.
You really have to. All the signage, everything I'm seeing here is just like weapons, guns, and then I saw a sign for cheese and goats. I don't know what that kind of combination is, but it sounds interesting. I might have to check it out.
Culinary creativity at its finest. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
All right. You too. Ryan Horvath, he's the host of BetMGM Tonight. It's heard in Chicago on 105.9 FM, HD2, or on the Odyssey app. That's us, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. Part of the BetQL network. Download the BetQL app today. So next hour, we are going to start with the Bulls. Darnell Mabry of The Athletic is going to join me. We're going to talk about this. He'd written earlier in the week, this blow this thing up. And then they go out and so beat the team with the worst record in the NBA that was missing two guys, and it was a game for 45 minutes, which it should never have been if you're really this team. We will check in with Darnell, and we are going to bring back an interview with Matt Fortuna, also of The Athletic, covers college football, about the search for the Bears' new team president, going down to from Halisall to Park Ridge or wherever the Big Ten is home now. And that's where you find Kevin Warren, and that's the guy. So Matt Fortuna was on the Bernstein and Holmes show. He was on with Lawrence and Layla, and it was quite revealing. Great stuff there. We'll bring that back to you. And the top of the in an hour from now, because we're just the pregame show for the Scores 30th anniversary show. It will be the Scores 30th anniversary broadcast at 2 o'clock. All your boss saves faves will be there. Everybody from the historic 30-year rise of the Score, the dominance, the fun times, the sports, the laughter, the confrontation, the nonsense, and the news. It's all there for you. So take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some Bulls. Zach LaVine looked like a max player. He had to remind some people that he was having max player numbers and stats. Got a kick out of that. We'll bring that back for you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.